Jesus did not do away with Judaism. Neither did Paul. Both of them understood that in the covenant God made with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and their descendants forever, God agreed to care for the children of Israel, and the children of Israel agreed to care for God, God's people, God's world. In the fascinating parable we've just heard, Jesus is not giving an allegory to describe how Christianity has displaced or done away with Judaism. I say this every time. Parables are not allegories. Parables are parables. There's always a surprise in them, at least for the original hearers. What's the surprise? I think the surprise is this crazy land management scheme the owner of the vineyard has going on. But that's something else. Jesus is not giving an allegory. He is telling another parable, a story that underscores the importance of tenants properly caring for the vineyard owned by someone else, honoring their commitments to the owner as the owner honors their commitments to the tenants. It's the importance of relating rightly to one another and fulfilling our obligations. The real teaching of this parable is that there is and there will be accountability. That what we do and how we live matters. Paul loved the law. He wasn't trying to get rid of it. He found it beautiful and took great delight in keeping all 613 commandments of the Torah, the law of Moses. In our second reading today from Paul's letter to the church at Philippi in Greece, as it begins, Paul is not bragging on his pedigree, but rather underscoring in his very Pauline way, that pedigree doesn't really matter. For it is not Paul's excellent CV or resume that makes his world go round, but rather his astonishment at how beautiful it is that God in Christ Jesus has fully and beautifully expressed the point of the law. Paul is not saying, hold my beer while I show you how to properly keep the law. He is lifting up the countercultural absurdity, y'all, and wonder of what God in Christ has made possible for him and for all of us. So, neither Jesus nor Paul was doing away with Judaism or the law. They were both about helping all people, both the Jewish people of whom they were a part, and all other nations, usually referred to as the Gentiles. That's pretty much all of us. Helping everyone to experience God's great compassion and love for all creation, including the human creations. The fundamentals of the law remain. They are encapsulated in our first reading today from Exodus, in which we hear the Ten Commandments, the Ten Words in Hebrew. Ten words is why we sometimes refer to these as the Decalogue, right? Ten words. On the front of your bulletin today, you see a rendition of the Ten Words in Polish. Even if you don't read Polish, I know I don't, you get the sense of 10 distinct words. Not big long paragraphs, right? Just distinct words of command. Jesus and Paul are concerned to help us understand that the realm of God is beyond legal systems and cultural norms, whatever our cultural norms may be. The realm of God, the rule of God, the kingdom of God, the reign of God, whichever term you want to use for it, and they all get at slightly different things. The realm of God is a state of being. There is a sovereign of this realm, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and their descendants, including us, forever. This is also the triune God that Jesus the Christ brought near and whom we love and serve. There's a sovereign in this realm that is a state of being, but this realm is not a sovereign state, not a nation state, not one people, but inclusive of and available to all peoples and communities and individuals. The fundamentals of the law remain and still obtain. When it comes down to it, even though it might sound otherwise, the Ten Commandments are not a collection of shoulds and should nots so much as 10 words of freedom. What? How are these do this, don't do that list of things words of freedom? Because they delineate healthy boundaries. Healthy boundaries help us live with joy and compassion and empathy because they create spaces in our togetherness, as the poet Khalil Gibran says. And the spaces in our togetherness help to promote healthy differentiation of each member of a system, of a community, including, I don't know, a congregation. We are a system. To the extent that each of us is healthy and differentiated from everybody else, knowing who we are so we can more fully celebrate and accept who others are, the better we all are, the healthier we all are. And a system is only as healthy as its least healthy member. Healthy boundaries do not mean the absence of love, but rather the presence of it. We have a sign in our parking lot, which reads, you might have seen it, in the edge near Bahama, "Thou shalt not park here, but we do love you." Signed, St. Paul's Episcopal Church. We're not opposed to people driving. We're not opposed to people parking. We're not opposed to people parking in the parking lot of St. Paul's. We are opposed to the lack of availability of parking for people coming to the campus for services, meetings, activities, etc. Not being able to find a space because people who are not coming for any of those things have hogged all of them. We support parking. We support parking priority, and that's one of our boundaries in this community. Healthy boundaries don't mean the absence of love, but the presence of it. In the Ten Commandments, these 10 words, God makes clear, first, who God is, before laying out these expectations in the form of commandments for the people. If they are clear on who God is, the people can make an informed decision. Who is this God? The God who led Israel out of slavery in Egypt and into freedom and new life. God's people can honor both God and one another based on the goodness and trustworthiness of this God. Let's run through these commandments briefly. I promise there's not a whole sermon on all 10 of them. Before any commandments are given, God says who God is, and then the first commandment. Knowing that I am the God who liberated you and brought you into freedom and new life. No other gods before me. Don't worship anything that is less than or other than God. Choose wisely. Follow closely. 2, no idols. Again, no other gods besides God. Nothing in the place that belongs only to God. And when you dream, do you dream of God or do you dream of a new car, etc.? What does your heart and your hope center upon? 3, no taking God's name in vain. This is not so much about cussing, honestly, as about who benefits from what we are doing when we say something like, it's the God's honest truth, is it? 4, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We're coming back to that one, so mark your place. 5, after those first 4, we turn to commandments relating to other humans. This feels important to say. 5, honor your parents. This is the first commandment with a promise that if we honor our parents, our life will be long in the land, in the place that God is giving to us. Honoring is not the same as blindly obeying. Honoring does not mean not having opinions, not having a voice. This commandment is not justification for the abuse of children in any form, ever. The commandments are addressed to adults, specifically to male adults at the beginning. Adult children are those called upon to honor their parents. What does that honoring look like in your family, your community, in the moment in which we live? 6, no murder. Doesn't seem like it needs commentary. 7, no adultery. Also commentary free. 8, no stealing. Also commentary free. 9, no bearing false witness. Don't misrepresent yourself or your actions or inactions or others or their actions or inactions. Speak the truth. 10, no coveting. People are more important than things. Right relationships are more important than anything. Back to 4. Honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Notice that nothing is said in the commandment about attending worship. I'm really glad you're here. I think it's a fabulous thing to do. But the commandment is really talking about something other than attending synagogue or church. It's saying, in Hebrew, Shabbat, stop. 6 days, busy, 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 busy. 7th day, stop. I love Sabbath so much, I have a dog named Shabbat. Just saying. The commandment is to keep holy a Sabbath day every week. What does that look like? Resting from things that occupy time and attention and energy and money and other resources the other 6 days. Do something different on your Sabbath. The commandment is for retired people and children, as well as people still in the workforce. Rest. Break. Stop. That's literally the sense of the commandment. If we don't observe this commandment, we are possibly breaking most of the others. I'd almost guess that this is probably the most frequently broken commandment. What do I mean? If we break this one, we might be breaking the others. Here's what I'm thinking. If we don't stop running in all our busy ways one day a week, we may fail to remember God and God's place in everything and before everything else. If we don't take a break, we may be worshiping work or achievement or some other pursuit, even good works, to the detriment of our relationship with God and ourselves and others. possibly to the detriment of our own health. If we don't rest one day a week, we may not have enough patience, bandwidth, simple courtesy left to honor our parents or other elders. Self-care is not selfish. It cannot serve from an empty vessel. If we don't stop one day a week, we may be murdering ourselves, literally shortening our lifespan, making ourselves more susceptible to any number of diseases and conditions. Lack of rest leads to worsened health. If we don't take time to stop, we may more easily break our vows to our partners and spouses. How? First and foremost, by not cherishing them, not honoring them, by being present to them and with them. If we do not rest one day a week, we are stealing time and energy from many of our relationships and from ourselves. If we do not stop one day a week, we may be bragging and boasting about our indispensability by claiming to be so busy, allowing busyness to witness falsely to what is really most valuable. If we do not rest, we're much more likely to covet the rest that others not so indispensable are able to take as they observe this commandment. My Sabbath is, do you know what day? Friday. I observe it, in a word, religiously. I sometimes have to take a substitute Sabbath day or two half days if there's some diocesan obligation, funeral, etc., that prevents me from being off on Friday, that prevents me from stopping. The custom is to stop at sundown on Thursday and maintain an email Sabbath and a text Sabbath, except in the case of dire emergencies. If somebody's dying, that's different, but otherwise, it can wait 24 hours. It's a commandment, not a suggestion, to rest. And I observe it because I have learned the hard way, I will admit. I cannot be a kind and competent rector, or a loving and present spouse, or a devoted family member, or much good at anything else if I am overtired, overstressed, and underrested. This fourth commandment is pure gift as well as command. The Sabbath was made for us, I read in a book somewhere, and not us for the Sabbath. That's Jesus talking. The Sabbath is made for us, not us for the Sabbath. So what is your Sabbath rest? Letting yourself slow down, catch your breath, rest, and also mingled in there is recreation, something that renews and restores your energy in addition to a good nap or a good night's sleep. Put Sabbath in every day. Rest and abide in the holiness and presence and goodness of God. Sometime every day, some day every week. It's part of why we try not to schedule loads and loads of parish activities on Sunday, even though lots of people are here. Some people drive down the Keys to get here, but for you all to have a Sabbath day. And some people are apologetic. Well, I'm like, you don't need to apologize to me. I'm not here on my Sabbath day. But attendance at worship is important. And this is Sunday. This is the first day of the week, the Lord's Day. So what I'm encouraging you to do is observe a Sabbath on another day or for part of a day. Some people are working multiple jobs to make ends meet. But is there a
block of a few hours where you can just relax and breathe, rest and renew. You may be in a season of life where observing this commandment is very difficult, but please rest as you can. This rest is God's gift, and we are God's beloved. God, help us observe this commandment of Sabbath rest. Amen.